I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, Chasing Justice family. Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here, ensconced somewhere on the Jersey Shore, watching out for those on the left at all times. You never know what they may say or do. So today we have a lot to talk about. We've seen a lot of activity in the last week or so going on in our country. You know, Senator John McCain laying in state ends a very long career. So we have a little commentary about, not so much about John McCain and the controversy, because there is controversy surrounding his life and his activities. In all, I think I'm going to say he's a good man and he served his country, and we'll stay with that. Next, we're going to talk about the Aretha Franklin funeral and how it was turned into an absolute political statement by people on the left. And I think they completely disrespected Aretha Franklin by doing that. Now, people have said that, oh, she was a Hillary supporter or she was a Democrat, and therefore anything the Democrats did at her funeral is perfectly okay. Maybe so. Maybe she would have been fine with it. But I got to tell you, as an American who just appreciated her work, her place in our culture, and how she did things to raise our culture, I was offended by some of the things I saw there. Specifically, what was Farrakhan doing there? Where was the media outrage that this man who has said such horrific things over the years, racist things, where was the outrage that he was there front and center with all the dignitaries and everybody hugging him and slapping him on the back? Can you imagine if this was somebody on the right? They wouldn't even let the President of the United States go there because of his perceived racism. Here's a guy who's actually a racist, and not only did they allow him to come, they put him front and center so that he could be a big part of what was going on. So I had a big problem with that. All right. The DOJ, the Department of Justice, and this mess just gets worse and worse and worse. We saw Bruce Orr from the DOJ come out and testify. And his testimony, while it was in public, we've heard a lot about it, makes it pretty clear that a lot of the things we thought were going on absolutely were. This is the danger to our country, because have you heard anything other than maybe here on America Out Loud? Have you heard anything besides maybe Fox News, where we're talking about the dangerous things that have happened? So much so that I'm going to say, I don't think we're America anymore. I think all this, you know, we talk about the midterm elections and what's going to happen, I don't know that it matters. If all of this is allowed to go on, and by saying all of this allowed to go on, the fact that we're seeing this conspiracy. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe in conspiracies like that, unless I see actual facts. And here it is crystal clear that a conspiracy went on to defraud the American people in the presidential election of 2016. And that conspiracy came from the left. That came from the White House on down. These elected officials came up with these plans, this Hillary Clinton with this dossier. And there are so many moving parts of this, it's hard to keep track of exactly what went on. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. Mr. Kavanaugh, the nominee for the Supreme Court. Now we're watching people line up to go after this guy. They're going to go after his religious background. He's a Catholic. They're going to go after his family. They're going to go after his beliefs, all because they're afraid that he's going to vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, to many people in our country, I think we have to accept the fact that Roe versus Wade is extremely important to them. The ability to terminate a pregnancy for just about any reason for people who are not religious or do not see life in the same way that people who are on the right, for the most part, and are religious, see life. They think it's something that you should be able to just do away with if you feel like it. And I know a lot of people believe that. You know, I don't, and I can't, because it's a life, it's a baby. I had a conversation with somebody recently, and they were talking about in vitro fertilization and the need to look into the program and see what it is. And this person brought up an unbelievable point that creates such a dilemma, ethical dilemma. You know, say they take 6 or 7 eggs and they fertilize them and they implant them, and say 4 of them take. Now, maybe the man and the woman who were doing this don't want 4 babies. Maybe they can't take 4 babies at one time. Maybe the woman can't handle having 4 babies at one time. So they have to choose then to abort, basically, some of those growing babies. And that's what they are. They're growing babies. This is a huge dilemma. And then this person told me about a friend of his that his wife and him had done that, in vitro fertilization. And they had twins. You know, they had 2 eggs fertilized and worked, and they had 2 babies. Well, within a year, she got pregnant naturally. And they had a 3rd baby. Unfortunately, though, they had another egg that was sitting in a freezer, which was a baby. And now they have the dilemma of, what do they do about that egg? Do they have another child? Or do they dispose of that egg? Which is, I guess, an abortion, because it is a fertilized egg. It's a growing, living creature. So this Kavanaugh seems like a good man. And I say that because, first of all, I don't know him. I'm only going by his record. He looks like he has a tremendous record. I know the attorney of record here for Chasing Justice is Joe Pangaro Jr. And Joe Pangaro Jr. seems to think that Kavanaugh is a very good jurist. His record is very clear. He's written on a couple hundred cases, so his opinions are pretty clear what's out there. And I think what he's basically holding on to is that he believes in precedence, which means Roe versus Wade is settled law. It's been part of our country for 40 years now, and he's not of a mind to go in there like one of our judges on the left who go in and make the law and overturn it. Now, what does that mean in reality? That means this is the man's point of view where he stands today. Does that mean a case will not come up in his tenure where he may vote against Roe versus Wade? There'll be a lot of pressure for him to do that. I mean, a lot of people, and I think it's over the 50% majority now, are against abortion on demand. And again, this is a topic we can go into over and over and over again. It's a personal belief. And this is where the libertarian in me has a hard time. I believe it's a baby and it's a life, and you shouldn't kill it. That's what I believe. So therefore, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't engage in it. But there are people that don't believe that. And they have to be heard also. So it's very, very difficult. I think the point I've made before is that the reason that those of us who are against abortion speak up is not because we want to tell a woman what to do. We don't want to tell a woman how to handle her body. It's her body. It's her and her doctor. What we're trying to say is we're speaking up for the baby. Nobody is speaking up for the baby. In our society right now, we have people that speak for everybody. Have you seen all the ads where they're saying, you have to speak up for the animals so the animals are not mistreated? And you know how much we love animals here on Chasing Justice. We're constantly sponsoring dogs and trying to save dogs and other animals. So we love animals. But there are groups out there that are spending millions of dollars to speak up for the animals that can't speak for themselves. Who's speaking up for the babies? Nobody's speaking up for the babies. So that's where I see our point of view is to speak up for the babies and say, hey, I'm here already. I'm a life. Let me live. All right? Now, do we have to improve our adoption services? Do we have to improve that? Yes, because I've heard people talk about it and say, you know how hard it is to adopt a baby. And it is. It's arduous. It's a tough process. So maybe we need to fix those things. That's what we're about evolving, right? In America, we find out we have a problem, we address it, we talk about it, and then we move forward. I think that's important. There was a sexual assault recently in New York City, in Brooklyn. A 11-year-old girl was raped in her bedroom by an 18-year-old guy who climbed through the window of her apartment and sexually assaulted her and took off. This young man has now been captured, and it is believed by law enforcement that he is a member of the MS-13 gang. Now, MS-13, for those of you in the other parts of the country, I'm sure some areas have experienced the influx of MS-13 people. But here in Long Island and New York, MS-13 is a potent force. There's a lot of them. On Long Island alone, there have been multiple homicides of other young people by MS-13 gang members. Just recently, as recently as a week or so ago, they uncovered a body of a young man who was an MS-13 gang member, but he was murdered by the members of the gang. Apparently, they're saying that he was lured into the woods where he was hacked to death and left in the woods. Now, I don't know this young man, but I understand he's a member of the gang, and he had just gotten out of jail, apparently, the day before, so maybe this was some way to silence him. People were afraid he was going to talk. Maybe he betrayed them in prison. I have no idea. But just think about how they're describing this in our America in 2018. This young man was lured into the woods where he was hacked to death. Is this what goes on in America? Is this America, or is this a third world nation where people are hacking other people to death? And we're sitting by and we're letting this happen. Look at the violence we allow to take place every week in Chicago. These are American men and women who are part of our American family, and we're allowing them to kill each other every weekend because it's politically incorrect to go into the neighborhoods where this is going on and shut it down. Because the cops want to go into those neighborhoods and arrest people and pat people down and get the guns off of them and try and save lives, only to be accused of being racist, of having to fight for their lives in many instances and end up killing the bad guys or the bad girls. Then they have to go on trial themselves. Is this America? Is this the country we live in? And this is what I'm saying. If we look around and we see the influence of the left, it seems pretty clear to me that the fear we all have of losing our country has already taken place. We just haven't caught up to it yet, which is an extremely sad thing and difficult thing for me to say. But I'm a pragmatist, and I'm trying to look down the road and say, what kind of life will my grandchildren have? Are they going to have the America that I have? My own children, as they were growing up, they didn't do the things I did. They didn't go out and play all day and night and have no way to contact them. There was no cell phones or pagers or anything back then. You got on your bike and you disappeared for the day when you were 7 and 8 years old. And you rode around. You went to friends' house. You don't have to worry about people grabbing you up and stealing you and killing you and putting you in the basement and using you for things, sex trafficking and all this other nonsense that we deal with today. It's almost impossible to imagine that my kids would have got on a bike and rode away with no way for me to contact them or know where they are. You know, I don't want to think I was a helicopter parent, but I was concerned about it, as most people are. Can you imagine it today? These kids' lives are so scripted every minute of the day that we would just let them go and do whatever they want to do wherever and not live in fear. So the MS-13 gang is a huge problem, as is violence in our country, as violence in Chicago. And why don't we do anything about it? It seems as though we're impotent to be able to do anything about this. We can't push this tide back. And the only thing that there is, and I'll go back to this because we spoke about it last week, the only chance we have of making this better is to vote on November 6th. That is the only option we have. If we allow this blue wave of Democrats to come in and take over, we know that they're going to go after impeachment of our president. And when I say our, I don't mean us on the right. I mean our American president. They're going to go after him. And they're going to try and drag him down and at least stop his progress, forward progress, which has really been amazing when you look at it. So if we don't go out and vote, all of us, on November 6th, it's our own fault. And we will have been part of the problem instead of part of the solution. All right, so let's look at this this attack they have on our president, because apparently he paid off one of these women that he may or may not have had an affair with. I don't know. What I assume, I would assume he probably did. He's a billionaire guy. We all know how people with opportunity behave, okay? Who am I to say right or wrong? I wouldn't do it, but you know what? If he did, he did. So that's another story. But the fact is, he paid off this woman to keep her quiet, which, as any lawyer will tell you, is a very, very common practice. People have information. You don't want it to come out. You pay them to be quiet. It's nothing illegal. It's done by contract all the time. All right, so he pays off this woman, and now the media on the left are out of their minds that, oh my gosh, he did this, he did that, he did the other thing. But we forget about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, who had to pay off other women because of his behavior in the Oval Office. They're talking about a recording of Trump when he was talking man-to-man, talking gutter talk, locker talk, when he was talking about, oh, you should grab him by the P-word, all right? Yeah, that's disgusting. I have a wife and a daughter. I don't like people talking like that. But you know what? I know a lot of men who do. They run their mouth. They say things to impress each other. It's stupid, inappropriate man talk, locker talk. And that's what he was doing on that tape. And they lost their minds over it. This proves he's a pig. He's horrible. We had to see the vagina hat walks because they're so against him. Okay, he should clean up his act. He should, not speak like that. That's important. But here at Aretha Franklin's funeral, we have Ariana Grande, beautiful young woman, beautiful voice, tremendous. She's out on the stage and she's singing at the funeral. She's very talented, and she was wearing a very short dress. And like I said, she's a very attractive girl. Sitting right behind her, literally in the row directly behind this girl, is former President Bill Clinton, sitting next to Jesse Jackson. And the cameras, if you look on social media, you see the cameras have focused in on Ariel Grande singing and Bill Clinton's eyes running up and down the back of her body. And you know what he's looking at. You know, she's standing there singing and you see his eyes focus right down on her bottom. And he's looking at it. Now, is that a crime to look at an attractive woman? I don't think it is. Is it a natural thing? It is. Watch any attractive woman walk down the street and you see all different kinds of men turn and look. It's natural. God built that into us, that we would be attracted to the opposite sex, okay? A really handsome guy walks down the street, you're going to see women turn their head and take a look at him. That's perfectly natural. But to complain about Donald Trump, who said something, and Bill Clinton, who did something, and just did this the other day, if that's not disgraceful, why that's not all over the media? With his history, it just goes to show the double standard, that things are not right in our country, and I think we might be lost. I try to be an optimist, and I'm going to try and rally. But I'll tell you, we better get out there and vote November 6th, or the game is lost. We'll be back in a couple minutes with round two here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, everybody, welcome back to round two of Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Well, guess what? We're in the neighborhood here, and we have some of the neighbors stop by. Because you know what? It's a nice weekend. We're having a good time. We're going to get ready to talk to you out there. And who do we have with us today? We have our man of faith, Mr. Bill Dallas.
How you doing, Joe?
Very good. And we have Rock and Roll Race Car Jack. Now, Jack, I've gotten calls. People love that nickname. And they love your pictures, by the way, fellas. They're up on the website. You can see these handsome fellas out there. How are you?
I thought my mother would be the only one who'd love that picture.
Actually, it was pretty good. I love the T-shirt. It said, I like to go fast or something like that.
Jack Speed Shop.
Jack Speed Shop. Everything. Very cool. Well, fellas, in our opening segment here today on Chasing Justice, We talked about some of the things that went on at some of these funerals, these high-profile funerals, John McCain's funeral, as well as Aretha Franklin's funeral. And as you listened to, you heard me talking about watching Bill Clinton, who is a guy who has actually done bad stuff to women. He was sitting in the front row there, and here's Ariana Grande singing, beautiful young woman, and here she is in this very short, some people said inappropriately short, dress for a funeral, but she's beautiful, she's a great singer, and here's Bill Clinton ogling this girl. And you could just imagine, you know, here's a guy that did actually bad things, and he's sitting in that front row. Do you think it makes a difference, Jack, that Trump said some bad things at one point, but Clinton's actually done stuff like that?
The differences to me are the fact that Bill Clinton actually performed acts while he was on the payroll in the Oval Office that I pay for. He was caught, and he was being very, very cat-like at his hearing.
Yes.
He wasn't answering questions. He was going in roundabout ways, asking, well, what exactly do you consider sex? And what was the word why mean? And
what is,
and
is.
What is, and what have you. But this man actually performed these acts with a young woman. Donald Trump, on the other hand, performed acts with these other women, allegedly, so far. Before running for the presidency. Now, none of us, and I mean no one listening at this present time and no one here certainly, knows what kind of arrangement they have within their marriage. You don't know what your neighbors do when that door closes. You don't know what Donald Trump and his wife do when that door closes. You don't know the arrangement they have or the agreements that they may have. This all taken into consideration, I'm going to put it down to not my business.
Well, that's, you know, and you know what? Just like with Bill Clinton, I honestly could care less the affairs he had. The problem with Monica Lewinsky was that she was a girl who was there as an intern. Now, granted, she was 21 years old, but she was still an intern. She's a young woman.
Could still be coerced.
Could be coerced. He's the president of the United States. My son Joe, our attorney of record here on Chasing Justice, he worked in the Bush White House as an intern. You're there, and it's the president of the United States. He took advantage of that girl. Then he lied about it under oath. That was the problem. He lied under oath. He's the president. You can't do that.
And wouldn't, you know, answer the questions directly. Unlike the president that we have now, like it or not, and we don't like it all the time, he will answer those questions.
Right. And I just think it's stupid of him to do it. His lawyers have said it, because this is this whole thing, and that's something we wanted to talk a little bit about, is this Department of Justice trap, because that's all this is. This is this corruption from the top to the bottom of going after an American citizen, because that's who he was at the time, an American citizen running for president, and the entire power of the United States government went after him as an individual and corrupted that. Big Bill, you don't like corruption.
Oh, I don't like what Clinton did, and just the fact that the entire country now idolizes this guy. It just goes against every single moral purpose that our country was founded on. To have sex in the Oval Office is one thing when you're the president of the free world doing that. That just is insane that this country forgave him that. That's a trust.
Right.
And the history of that office, with all the wonderful things that have happened there, just blew all of that credibility away.
Blew it away. Yeah. Now, double entendres are everywhere. Now, I got to say, I can understand that the country forgave him. What I don't forgive is the people today who are now saying, because Trump said this horrible thing on tape, and maybe he was with these women, which, again, private business, Jack, because he was with them, he has stained the Oval Office. Bill Clinton actually stained the Oval Office.
He stained Monica Lewinsky's dress, which you would have to think about. She had an agenda of her own. Why else would she keep that dress?
Right. Now, you got to imagine that people were pressuring her behind the scenes, knowing what was going on. And, you know, go back to Chasing Justice. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about DNA. The only reason that Clinton admitted to anything is because that DNA on that blue dress was a positive indicator that, well, That baby batter on there was Bill Clinton's, so there was no way around it. So that's an interesting thing. Let's get back to these funerals for now for a minute here. We saw Bill Clinton ogling this young girl, and not a word is said on the media. The media says nothing about the biggest political mess that has ever come across in our country, this conspiracy to take down an American citizen running for president and then ruin him once he won. But let's go to the Aretha Franklin funeral. Now, Aretha Franklin, we've all said when we were here last week talking about her, she really brought so much to the table as an American. What an American talent, a wonderful woman. And here, her funeral was turned into a political spectacle for those on the left. Did you watch it, Bill?
I watched part of it. And then, you know, the funeral on TV was 8 hours long. You can only watch so much. They had a lot of wonderful singers. I mean, Stevie Wonder was there and a bunch of other really good singers. And the whole thing to me was marred by putting three of the, in my mind, the worst people in seats of what they called seats of honor. Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, and Jesse Jackson. Three people that, in my mind again, have no business being in anything that's honorable. And
well, let's look at what they actually have said in their lives. All three of them have attacked the Jewish population. They have made anti-Semitic remarks.
Especially Farrakhan.
Especially Farrakhan lives it day and night.
Yeah.
Farrakhan, actually, at one point in time, I was listening to one of his speeches because, unlike others, I will sit and listen to what other people have to say. Listening to his speech, I found him to be very clear and very intelligent, and all of a sudden, he goes off the rails. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing, which was that the white people in the United States and throughout the world should not be in power of any kind, shape, or form, because they were the result of an experiment of black scientists in ancient history. And I just said to myself, something that was interesting, something that was informative, something that was intelligent, just turned into a cartoon.
Well, when you put it that, I mean, listen to the theories. Didn't he also say something about the mothership flying around up there, the aliens? Where's Jim when you need him? Where's the contrarian?
We need the...
Where's the contrarian when you need him? It's just amazing to me that they had, again, they talk about our president and they're saying that Trump, and when I say our, and I mentioned this before, I don't mean mine and the guys in this room. I mean our. He's the United States president. He's all of our president. Whether you like it or not on the left, he is your president. So here he is. They make fun of him and they attack him and say that he's anti everything in the world. But here you have three guys that really are racist. And they put them in the front, and everybody on TV is, oh, isn't it wonderful? They're hugging and kissing these guys like this is the greatest thing in the world.
Now, I can compare both funerals. Both of them were, in a sense, had their reverent moments, which is what a funeral should be. But in both situations, they marred that reverence by attacking Trump. And look at what Al Sharpton had said about Trump. I don't know if this is true or not, but he said that President Trump said, Aretha Franklin worked for me. And Al Sharpton goes, well, she didn't work for him, she worked for us. Now, what is us? Who is us? Them? I thought she worked for, she entertained us all, you know, but he's claiming it for her. And why did he have to bring that up in a time when we were celebrating the life of Aretha Franklin, who was a wonderful role model for not just young black African Americans, but for everybody? I loved her music.
She's a wonderful woman.
Ever since I heard her sing Respect, you know, right. And that's what this funeral lacked. Was the respect of the president. And whether you like the president or not, you should be respecting the office. If you don't like the man, you need to respect the office.
And
they didn't do that.
And who else said that last week? What was it? Tiger Woods came out, and I thought he gave a very appropriate response when they asked him about Trump. And he said, listen, whether you like the man or don't like him, he's the president of the United States. We have to respect the office. Mm. And he was given so much flack because how dare he not pummel Trump when he had the opportunity? I got to tell you, I think Barack Obama was probably a nice guy. I think he was probably a really good father. Looks like he was. Looks like he's a good husband, right? his policies were detrimental to the United States of America. That's what I didn't like about him. He was still the president. I still respected him as the president of the United States, even though I completely disagreed with his policies. The people who are disrespecting Trump are such a new breed. We are in such a new place now, which is the theme of what we had talked about earlier. And what I talked about in the opening was America is in a place that I don't know we come back from. And I know that sounds down, and I keep going up and down. And Bill, you were saying before, we can't have that kind of energy here in the neighborhood.
It's a defeatist attitude.
It's a defeatist, and I love the fact that you're saying it's defeatist, and you don't want to be that. I'm trying to be pragmatic. The only way we can fight back to any of this right now on the short term, because that's all we have, is the short term, is November 6th. We got to get out there, and we got to vote, and we got to prevent the people on the left from going after our president and destroying this country is what they're going to be doing.
The young people, the young voters, the voters of today and tomorrow need to get a little bit more educated on what socialism is and what it means. If you see medical breakthroughs, many of them come from this country. They do come from other countries, but most of them come from this country. Mm-hmm. Because there's incentive for these people to use their minds to come up with something new and better. If you were to come up with the latest drug, a cure for anything in another country, tomorrow your paycheck would be exactly the same as the doctor sitting next to you. You would get no more. In this country, of course, it can make you a millionaire overnight. Of course, we've seen some of the pharmaceutical companies become a little abusive over it, but that's also being handled in the courts. There's ways and means to control these situations for the most part. But
your point, your overall point is right. Socialism drags everyone down.
Socialism is going to be the greatest thing if it happens in this country. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. Can I say that? 5 years later, when they're taking 50% of your salary.
50. Like they take that now.
Everybody wants to move to Sweden. They think Sweden is so great. They're taking over 50% of those people's salaries for their medical coverage and what other meager benefits they do get through the socialist government. That will happen here, which means your vacations and things that you enjoy, such as going to protest, you won't have time for that anymore. You'll be working just to sustain a meager lifestyle, and that's what socialism brings.
Right. You know, you were saying earlier that we need to have the young people understand what socialism is. I think that the young people, that generation needs to understand what the truth is.
Yeah.
You know, they need to do their own research, not just take somebody else's word for things.
Absolutely. The first, you know, the first 3, 4, 5 years are going to be great. And then when the money runs out, it's going to be horrific.
One of my, I know you've heard this before, Mark Twain, he says it all in so many different comments. He said, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed. You know? So where do you go for the truth? How can these young people say, okay, everything that they're saying about Trump, I can take 50% of it and throw it in the trash because it's not true. How do I know that? Where do they go?
Right. Where do you go? Where do you go? Now, we have to look at our educational system, especially the colleges, that are indoctrination places. You see, they shut down speakers where in college campuses they used to fight so that we could bring people on to speak. The horrible the speech was, the more they were happy to have it because it's free speech. Now, if they disagree with you, they run you off the campus, literally and figuratively run you off the campus. When we cut down the ability to think and to talk and to express ourselves, that's one more example of how we're sliding away from who we are as a country.
There are so few outlets right now for the conservative viewpoint to come across. I mean, such as Fox News, One America News, are some of the few avenues that you have as a conservative to hear your viewpoint or get your viewpoint across. Me personally, I listen to CNN. I listen to NBC, CBS, ABC. I'll listen to their news. And then, of course, I'll bias it by going to another news channel that has a more conservative viewpoint and find out why they're saying these things.
So you're listening to both sides as
well? I listen to everyone.
And
I wish everybody would listen.
Figure it out.
You know, I was taught a long time ago by my grandfather. You know, there's his story. There's that guy's story over there. And somewhere in the middle is the truth.
Right. So I think, Bill, your point of view is, where are these kids going to go learn? What I've tried to teach my kids is look at what actually is happening, not just what people tell you. So they say Trump is horrible, Trump is bad, Trump is this. He hasn't rounded up people, as we've said before.
There's no death camps, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no death camps. He's not going after our gay community. He's not going after our minority communities. He's not re-educating people. What he is doing, he turned our economy around so that everybody can have a job and everybody has a chance at the American dream. That's what he's actually done. He's knocked down regulation so that businesses can function and use that money to hire people. That's what really works. This is, Jack, to your point about socialism. When a business is allowed to grow and make money, that's the purpose of a business. It's not there for social engineering to give people a job and benefits. It's there to make money. And if it makes money, it'll pay the employees. Look at the wages in certain areas of the country are going up because there's so many jobs now that they don't have enough people to fill it. So what's the answer? Raise the wage to draw people in and take the jobs. And that's how it works.
In a socialist economy, there is no growth because growth is uncalled for.
That's fantastic. Gents, again, another lively thing here. We got 30 seconds, Bill. I know you wanted to say the Pledge of Allegiance before every show, and I'm all for it. But you found something out there on social media about the Pledge of Allegiance in school. What do you got there?
Yeah, it's crazy. School in Texas, they sent home this thing called the Pledge of Allegiance request to the parents to sign. And on it, it says, "I understand my rights as a parent, and I request that my child, noted above, be excused from reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. The request includes standing and placing his or her right hand over his heart." Well, this one parent sent it back with this comment: "This is the dumbest thing I have ever heard, and I am so ashamed of this." Every parent should be ashamed. Every American should be ashamed of something like that, that a school administration would have the nerve to send something like this home for American parents to sign and I get
you're
so
out of
frustrated.
Words. You're so
I'm
frustrated.
Out of words. I'm sorry.
All right. So to all our military out there that did the right thing, that saved our country time and time again, to our police officers, all our first aid people, the firemen and women, and everybody that does the right thing, that is what the flag stands for. And guess what? It also stands for each and every one of us to be as good as we can. So you know what? Thank you, fellas in the neighborhood. We'll see you again next week, and we'll be back in a couple minutes for round three here on Chasing Justice. Oh, and I want to add real quick, America Out Loud is a great place for freedom of speech in America.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome to round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, this being Labor Day, in the Labor Day time of year, you know, the end of the summer, around here in Jersey, we call it local summer, you know, the month of September, when the weather is still nice and warm, the ocean water is beautiful, it's really a great place to come and visit. You know, a lot of us have our impression of the Jersey Shore or New Jersey from The Sopranos and shows like that show the gritty North Jersey areas. Here in Central and South Jersey, it's farmland, it's beach communities, we have mountains. New Jersey's a beautiful place. So you ought to come and visit us here in the neighborhood. It's fantastic. Well, we have school starting around the country. I know some of you have already started, some of the warmer climates already started in late August. But here in New Jersey area, we start school coming up this week, and everybody's getting their kids ready to go. So I want to talk a little bit about school safety and security. Now, we've come up with that topic a few times because it's near and dear to my heart. One of the things I do is I teach and train, and I sponsor this show, and my company, True Security Design, we're based out of Bayshore, Long Island, but we cover the entire United States at this point, and jpangaro.com training. Okay, that's my original company, and we've expanded now into schools, businesses. We do threat assessments. We're also looking at plans. You know, before you plan a building, you should have somebody take a look at those plans to make sure you include the proper security features, visitor management, turnstiles, proper glass, intercoms, camera systems should all be as part of the plan now when you're planning out a building, an addition, a renovation, whatever. So True Security Design, you can find us at jpangaro.com or truesecuritydesign.com. Take a look. We're there to help out. We've helped lots and lots of companies plan for the future, and our training is just expanding all over the place. With school security starting up, with the start of the new year, I want to make sure that I give everybody a little insight what you should be bringing to your school districts, because I know not everybody has someone like me who is a director of security. Only 39% of school districts in America have a school security director. So we're kind of counting on our other school staff members whose specialty is teaching or administering, not handling security, worrying about people getting in and hurting you. So I've written a lot of articles, and I'll send a bunch of them over to the webpage here on America Out Loud to see if we can get some of them up there on school security stuff. I have a manual that I created. It's called Securing Your School. It's a roadmap for action that's available to you, and I believe we're going to be putting that up on the website fairly shortly. And it basically gives you a roadmap. Here's what you need to look at in your school to make sure your buildings are safe so your kids can be safe. Okay, so we're going to go over some of that stuff today for a little bit. But I wanted you to know that I'm here to help if you need anything like that. So let's see. Where do we start with this? We're going to go right to this manual. And it says exactly this. How and where to begin. How do you begin? You know, if you're a school administrator out there and you have this building, you're a superintendent, maybe you're on the school board, you want to make your school safer. You're just saying to yourself, where do we start? There are so many options available to us today that we didn't have even a couple years ago. So the best place to begin is to understand you need to have a security mindset. Security mindset means that you're aware and you prepare. Doesn't mean being paranoid. All right, we know the statistics of active shooters out there. We know there'll be 10 to 16 incidents of active shooters in schools. And we defined this a couple of weeks ago. An active shooter in a school is someone who comes in specifically to hurt and kill people in the school. It's not two gang members in a parking lot having a shootout or anything like that, or somebody dropping a gun and it goes off. That's not a school shooting. School shootings are when someone comes to the building specifically to hurt and kill people with a firearm, and they target students and staff. So that's that. So when you want to have a security mindset, which means you look at everything through the prism of, does this help my security? Does this slow the bad guy or bad girl down? Right? Now, one of the sayings I've brought up many times to everybody is time equals life. And I love these little sayings because they help us to focus and capsulize what it is we need to think about. So we can't be paranoid. If we walk around paranoid that every person coming to our school is there to hurt us and kill us, we're not going to be able to function. A school has to function as a warm learning environment for the students and the teachers. Being in the schools for the last 5 years, actually seeing the interaction every single day, I was amazed by how much these teachers, administrators really do love these kids, and they look after them, and how much the kids, for the most part, respect and look up to their teachers, and they look at them for guidance. So it's really important that security mindset means we're aware and we prepare. We're not paranoid. So I use those kind of sayings. The next thing we need to understand is what are the best practices. Best practices means experts that have looked at this, and they try and figure out, okay, what can we do to make sure our front doors are secure? What is the best practice for securing our front doors? So a lot of people will say, you know, man traps are really a good idea. Build a man trap so that somebody who gets in that first level of your building kind of has to stop. You can check them out. If they start to do something funky, they can't get into the next level. And then you secure that glass with all kinds of stuff. There is manufacturers that create this security glazing, and we've spoken about this. You can shoot through it, but you can't really knock it out very quickly. It takes a couple minutes to knock the glass out of the window, which buys you time to lock down and call for help, etc. So best practices are exactly that. What are the best practices when it comes to a lockdown? What is considered the right thing to do these days? what is the best practices during a bomb threat, etc., etc. So this manual that I have here, Securing Your School, A Roadmap for Action, is available to you. If you email me, jpangaro@americaoutloud.com, I can tell you how to get it. It's very inexpensive, but I think it'll really help you if you're trying to figure out where do I go. Because we also know that there's a million companies out there trying to sell you stuff. Some of them are really, really good. Others are fly-by-nights. Their equipment is not that good. It's repackaged cheap equipment that you can buy overseas. Then they slap their name on it and they sell it to you. Oh boy, look how cheap I got this camera for. And it turns out 2 years later, it doesn't work and you have to buy a whole new set of cameras. So you got to be careful of those things. So I try and cover these things. The sponsors that I bring onto this show, the only people I bring on as a sponsor is somebody that I would be willing to put my kids in a building with their stuff there. So I like talk about A-plus technology and security all the time out of Bayshore, New York. Absolutely tremendous group of people. They brought me out and had me do training for the districts out there in Long Island, and they were not interested in me talking about their equipment. They said, just present your information. I was so impressed with that, it's ridiculous. As I look into their equipment, I can't believe the things they have, and I've watched their service teams go out and how they take care of people. So I would be very happy for anybody to call A-plus Technology or email them aplustechnology.com and take a look at what they have, because I would trust my kids in the building with them. And that sounds like a commercial. I guess it is a little bit, but I'm telling you, I don't want you to get caught up with some of these companies that are fly-by-night or they repackage other people's stuff. A-plus Technology is excellent. So you start, here's where you start. Best practices, it tells us, how do you do anything? All right. How are you going to do any project in your life if you don't know what your strengths and weaknesses are? So the best thing you can possibly do is to get a threat, vulnerability, and risk assessment, or a TVRA, as we call it. All right. So a TVRA is, it looks at all the threats facing your facility, the interior, which is the people and the students, or in your business, your employees, or whatever. And then you look at the exterior threat, the people that want to come in from outside that are not a part of your organization and attack you, like the Sandy Hook kid who came and attacked that school. That's an exterior threat that came to the school. So a threat vulnerability risk assessment does just that. It looks at all of these different things in your school or your business, and it points out where your weaknesses are so you can fix them. All right? So you can fix them. And I do it with an outside-in approach. I start in the neighborhood, and I work my way through. What kind of threats do you have out here? And how do I get to your building? What's the best way for me to get in? How could I surpass your security and all that kind of stuff? Once you have that TVRA done, then it should provide a roadmap. Okay, here's what we found that's wrong. Here's what you need to remediate. And then give you a plan of how to do it. Because you know what? School districts are not made of money, especially these days and age. Money is in short supply. Every dollar is precious. So we want to make sure we spend money in the right way. I know a lot of threat assessments are offered by lots of different companies, and they come out and they're basically veiled commercials. They come out and want to sell you, their cameras or their door stops or whatever it is they have. So they focus their threat assessment on their product, not really on your school. So, my company, True Security, we are independent. We work for the district that hires us. We're there to make sure we get a good look at their district for them. Who they go buy it from then is up to them. We'll give them suggestions, but that's not our concern. Our concern is to make sure we uncover their weaknesses and give them a way to overcome their weaknesses. So that's your threat assessment. That's the place you start. You have to have a threat assessment so you know what you need to look at. Maybe your cameras are just fine and you don't need to go buy $200,000 worth of cameras. Maybe you need a visitor management system. Maybe you need an upgrade to your vestibule. Maybe all you need is the glazing on your windows to slow people down. Maybe it's training you need. This is what a threat assessment, a TVRA, is going to give you. So that's where you start. All right? You want to look at a visitor management system, electronic one. Now, a non-electronic one, very cheap, is to have an employee sit at the front door and watch who's walking up to the door. Get their name, find out what they're doing at the school. All right, electronic ones allow you to have people register their visit before they get there. Wouldn't that be nice to know who's coming to your building before they walk up? Because then anybody that walks up after that is considered suspicious. Why are you here? You shouldn't be here. You didn't have a plan, or maybe it's totally innocent. But that's what you can do with an electronic visitor management system. Swipe cards, biometrics, and other access controls. Very, very important in this day and age. If you have a swipe card, that's unique to an employee. I would say have an employee entrance that's secured. Maybe a secure parking lot where the employees get in. Then they go through a secure door with their swipe card or biometrics. It keeps anybody from just walking in. Security glazing on the windows, all right, and your doors, the glass in your doors at your entry points and on your first floors to keep people out. Very, very important. Emergency notification systems. How do you call for help? Say you go into lockdown, something bad's happened, you go into lockdown, that's great. Remember I talked about the three pillars of survival, all right? It's preparation, which is preparing your building and your people. Then communication. How do you tell everybody in your facility there's danger, we need to lock down? And number three is notification. How do you call for help? How do you call the police and say you need to get over here? All right, if you think you're going to do it in a phone call, you might want to rethink that. Depends on where the attack is coming and who's on that phone. Do you have someone who's trying to fight for their life? Who are they supposed to call? Not necessarily. So electronic notification systems is a system where you can have it on your cell phones, on your computers, and you hit a button and it sends the message out to the police. There's lots of different kinds of them. If you have any questions, jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. I can give you some insight into where you should look and what kind of things you can look at. Camera systems. Camera systems are extremely important for a couple of reasons. Number one, the security that a camera provides is only as good as the person whose eyeballs are on the camera. All right, if you have 52 cameras at the front of your building, that's great, but if nobody's looking at them, the only good your cameras are going to do is after the event, the police can go back and look at the evidence and see when the person arrived, what kind of car they got in, etc. So a camera system should be able to see all of your doors, and you should be able to get a good view of who this person is that's standing there. So you can see if they have a weapon. Are they acting strange? Do they have something suspicious? All right, so make sure when you get your cameras, don't just buy every camera in the world if nobody's going to look at them. Someone has to be assigned to look at your cameras. Otherwise, they're an afterthought after the crime has already happened. Code words. All right, I see a lot of people use code words still, and I can't believe they do. You know, green alert, blue alert, red alert. Those are designed so that your staff will know you have a need to do something, but apparently the bad guy won't recognize it. Well, here's where that goes wrong in modern times here. Bad guy enters your facility with a gun and starts shooting. And you start screaming, you know, code blue, code orange, code green, whatever you're screaming. The bad guy already knows he's there. He knows there's danger. They expect you to lock down or try and run away. They don't expect you to sit there. But the problem with code words is that in an emergency, when people are scared, when they're traumatized, they might not remember code green means lockdown and code orange means jump out the window and code blue means, you know, lock your, whatever it is. Code words confuse people. Clear talk. All you should ever say is lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. You might want to add a reason to that. Lockdown, suspicious person at the door. Lockdown, intruder in the building, whatever it is. Clear talk is you give people information so they can save themselves. Door locks or magnets and safety bar straps, very important. Pre-lock your classroom doors, all right, so that in an emergency, you don't have to go in a hallway, put a key in the door, because I can tell you, you're not going to do that in an emergency. You're not going to have the ability to put that key in a lock and lock that door when there's gunshots going off. So door magnets are very inexpensive. You put them over the throw hole in the door lock, you pre-lock the door, and the kids can come and go as much as they want. In an emergency, from inside the classroom, the teacher or any student just slides the magnet out of the way, and the door locks, and you're in there safely and securely. You want to get the pull-down or some kind of a curtain to cover that window. Now, a lot of police departments will tell you they don't want you to do that. They want to be able to look into the classroom. I'm going to tell you, the bad guy, if he can't see you, we have evidence in the historical record of these events that if they can't see you, even if they think you're in there, they move on. Because these guys and girls that are doing this, they are looking for easy victims. Unless they are targeting you specifically in room 305, they can't get in, they can't see in there, they're going to move on looking for victims. So get, there's lots of companies I know that are great that make these pull-down window covers from inside the classroom. And safety bar straps. You know the push bars on the doors? Try locking them in an emergency. So what you do is you put the door in lock, you push the bar in, you put the strap around it, and in an emergency, from inside the room, the gym, the cafeteria, the auditorium, all you do is pull the flip on that strap and the bolt flies into place and you're locked in. Very, very inexpensive. Okay? These are very simple things that we can do to keep our school safe. Now, this is only a couple of the things in the manual. All right, I wanted you to be aware of what's out there. Securing your school, a roadmap for action. Email me if you want more information on it. It's an easy download. I could send it right to you, and it can help you make your school safer. We love our kids. We love our teachers. We love our staff members. We live in a world where we know there will be school shootings. This is an unfortunate reality of our time. So we're not paranoid, we're aware, and we prepare. And remember, time equals life. The longer we can keep the killer away from us, the better chances we have of surviving. So my friends, school's starting. Let's hope everyone has a great year. Let's hope it's a great year for America. See, I told you in the beginning, I was thinking we're done, but I'm trying to be positive, and I am positive. I just get annoyed with what's going on in the world. So listen, everybody stay safe. Remember our sponsors, A-Plus Technology, jpangaro.com, True Security Design, The Blue Magazine. I didn't mention them yet. Excellent magazine for cops. Be safe, be secure, and have a good year. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.